We're having our class on the Jewish home. Our topic is, I can't believe you did that. So our story begins with a couple where the wife was always dabbling in alternative medicine. And the husband would always beg her, talk to me before you give me stuff. So one time she had discovered something very, very interesting. And she was sure it was very healthy for the family. So she took this herb, mixed it into their soup, and she made this wonderful concoction. And he comes home and she says, there's this amazing new soup, have some. So he unwittingly starts eating the soup, and she eats the soup. And halfway through the meal, they both start feeling really bad, to the point where they can barely crawl to the phone and call the paramedics. And the next thing they know, they're out. And they're hospitalized. And they're unconscious. The paramedics find them unconscious. They take them to the hospital. Well, they trace the phone. Come on. Nowadays, things are more sophisticated. So they're in the hospital, and they're fighting for their lives. And after a period, they stabilize them. They're unconscious. And then, slowly, they make it back. And when they make it back, they're in the recovery ward. And one day, the husband asks, is my wife alive? So they tell him, yeah, she's in the recovery unit, not far from you. And the doctor, they put them back together again. And the doctor says, look, you guys, you overdosed on a very dangerous herb. My wife says, oh, I put that in our soup. They're sitting there. They've both been through a nightmare the last month or two. And the doctor says, look, I have sad news to tell you. You guys are going to make it back. You guys are going to... if you've made it this far, you're going to get out of the hospital, you're going to resume your normal lives, but you should realize that your life expectancy was just cut short by a tremendous amount, meaning if you were going to live till 100, now you're going to live to 50, 45, you're not going to make it to that 100 mark. Just realize, as you plan your lives, that you're going to go back home, but your life expectancy was just cut tremendously. And he leaves the room. And the husband is sitting there with his wife. And she's the one that fed him that soup. What do you say?
I love you.
She's not going to make it even so far.
So our story is true. Our story, I'll tell you the name of the characters involved. His name was Adam, her name was Eve. She gave him from the forbidden fruit. And by the time the dust had settled the next morning, God tells him, your life expectancy is now much shorter because you ate from that fruit. So how is Adam supposed to continue living with Chava? How do you stay married to this person? They were married all of a day and she poisoned him to death. Oh, it's going to be a slow death. It's okay. But because of her, she's going to die. So the first marriage in the Torah pits the man against the woman in a very difficult state. How do you stay married to this person? How do you build a life with this person? What do you say to a person after they've done that to you? So there are many angles to this question. One angle is the Pasuk. If we look in the Torah, the Psukim are a little bit startling. God is giving the curses to the snake, and then to the woman, and then to the man. So Hashem tells Adam, Ki shamata lekol ishtecha, because you listen to your wife. Vatochal min ha'etz, you ate from the tree asher tziviticha leimor, I commanded you not to eat from it. Cursed is the earth. You will suffer your whole life in order to eat from that earth. It will produce thorns, and you will eat grass, almost like an animal. You will work and sweat until you return to that earth, for you are dust, and you will return to being dust. End of the curses. 10 curses Adam HaRishon gets in those psukim. The very next pasuk, the pasuk says, Ki afar ata ve'elafar tashuv. You are dust, you will return to dust. End of curses. Very next pasuk, Vayikra ha'adam shem ishto. Adam gave his wife a name. What do you call a wife after you just heard 10 curses, including you're going to die? You are dust. What do you call her? You call her evil. You call her good for nothing. You have a lot of choosy names to call her. No. What does the Torah say? Vayikra ha'adam shem ishto chava ki hi hayeta im kol chai. He says, you're the mother of all life. Really? You're the mother of all death. Wouldn't that be more fitting? Now, you want to build? You want to create? You want to move forward? You cannot change the destruction that happened yesterday. You could only build the future. So then you have to see the positive in her. But there's a huge negative here. He's going to pay for it with his life. It's over. Hashem just told him, you're going to die. Him and all his descendants, and it's all her fault. Now, Adam says, we want to move forward. Her name is Chava. She is the mother of all life. And at the root, to my mind, at the root of the message here is that after marriage, we have to realize it's a choice we make, what we focus on. Every spouse is annoying. Every spouse is very annoying. Every spouse is difficult. Every spouse is very difficult. I got news for you. So are we. We're also difficult. We think, every one of us thinks, I'm a wonderful guy. She's really lucky to be married to me. I'm not like her. But everyone is difficult in their own way. But we're all difficult. We all have our weaknesses. We all make terrible mistakes. We all could be more considerate. Adam teaches us rule number one. Look for the positive, define the positive, focus on the positive. Look for it, define it, focus on it. We can overlook all the positive that we have from our spouse. You could. But if you want to build, you have to look, define, focus. Meaning, if you just say, I have a good wife, you're not going to be happy. If you say, I have a good wife who is A, B, C, D, the more you can define it, the more you can give it definitive terms, the more you will be able to focus on it. Look, define, focus. Okay? So that's rule number one. Rule number two. Shlomo HaMelech says in the Song of Songs, Achat hi yonati tamati. She's the only one. If we're in marriage and we entertain the thoughts that there are other options, so then you can never be happy. Men have a polygamous nature. There's a reason why the Torah warns the man, don't go after your eyes and heart. Excuse me? Yeah, there was a man, not such a positive man, who said that he has cheated on his wife many times in his heart. Because the heart can go many places. But the line is a true one. At the end of the day, we have it within us to entertain all kinds of thoughts. You see it in the Ten Commandments. Hashem says, don't desire your neighbor's wife. Ribbono shel Olam. These are the Ten Commandments. Maybe talk to me about being holy. Maybe talk to me about things in the upper spheres of Kabbalah. Very simple, down to earth. Don't desire your friend's wife. It's a very in-your-face reality. Hello? Don't desire your friend's wife. Gamarnu. Very simple. So, part of the key to being happy in marriage is being focused. This is my wife, the only one. Achati yonati tamati. When we approach marriage as, this is it, with this person I'm building. There is no alternative. This is the person I'm building with. So then I can think about the positive and see how to build. This is much easier said than done. In many ways, people look for alternatives to their wives. It can be sitting in a chat room. It can be having all kinds of friends on Facebook and on WhatsApp. And in fact, the person is really avoiding the real building he can have in life. And I want to give you a simple example from life. Okay? Simple example. Very, very simple example. This morning, or last night, my son told us that there's a store right next to his yeshiva where they have a sale for his yeshiva, and at a very, very cheap price, like dirt cheap, there's 1 hour where his yeshiva can come if he has a letter from the office that he learns in that yeshiva. So the store that's down the block is giving them now, once a year, they have this steady discount for the students of that yeshiva. They have 1 hour where they can show up. So they have 3 days. Depending on the letter of your name in the alphabet, you get a different day. Today, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 3 days where his letter today can show up in this hour and choose a suit and get it dirt cheap. Okay. So I changed my whole schedule around. I canceled a million things in order to go with him to get that suit. And then there was this funeral today. So everything went topsy-turvy. And I'm getting ready to go with him. And I get a phone call from him. The yeshiva office is closed. I can't get the letter. I can't go. So to my mind, he said it'll be tomorrow. I said, no, I canceled a million things today. I can't cancel them again tomorrow. I can't come tomorrow. So he says, I can't get the letter today. So in the middle of this conversation, back and forth between me and him, and I'm thinking, why couldn't you get the letter last week? I don't know if he could or couldn't, but that's the thought that's running through my mind. My wife calls, and she asks, what's going on? And my thought is, stay out of it. You're at home. You have not, what can you do? But I decided I'm going to be respectful. So I told her what's going on. So, what?
Go pick out the suit.
Oh, wow. Very good. That's what she said. Didn't dawn on me, right? And I'm thinking, and I'm forcing myself to be very patient as I'm trying to think, how am I going to change my schedule tomorrow to make this work? I don't see a way to make it work. And my wife calls again, and she says, did you speak to him? And I say, yeah. And he said, can he get the letter? And I say, no. And my wife says, can you call the secretary? And I say, no one's in the office. They're not going to give it to us. And I'm getting 20 questions, and I'm repeating to her everything I've just been doing as I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. And I'm trying to make it not a total loss my whole day. And then my wife calls a third time. And again, I'm going to be very patient because I'm forcing myself to be patient and I think I'm being a very nice guy. And in the middle of the conversation, my wife says, why don't you go and pick the suit with him? And then he'll come with the letter tomorrow and just pick it up. Boom. She just saved me a whole day. Because if I would have had to cancel my schedule tomorrow morning, I wasn't sure I was going to be able to do that at all. I mean, I was at a point where I was like, okay, we lost it. I can't do this. I don't see a way to do it again tomorrow. And to me, it was a huge eye-opener. Here I was having 3 conversations, each time being nice to her, right? Being polite and sharing with her what's going on as I'm thinking, please, let me work this out. I don't have time to explain to you everything that's going on all over again. But because I explained everything that went all on, I was able to get my day back tomorrow. I don't have to schlep back into Jerusalem. Many times we miss out on the blessing of having a partner because we're not prepared to share, to be focused with the partner, to work with the partner. Adam Arishon must have had a tremendous desire after the story to seclude himself. Leave me alone. Look at what you've done. I can't believe you did that. Well, you know what? In all of our lives, there are moments where I can't believe you did that. It's the guy who begged his wife when she was on maternity watch, don't carry heavy things. And then she just decided she's going to carry the mixer from the kitchen to put it away. And then she started miscarrying. It's the guy who begged his wife, please seatbelt the kids. And she always didn't. It's the guy who begged his wife, don't pull out in reverse without checking out what's behind the car. People live through tremendous hardships that are the product of, I told you so. I can't believe you did that. I was sitting next to a friend, and we were both away from home. And where he lived, it was raining torrents. It was raining cats and dogs. Now, just outside his house, there was sewage that would sometimes get filled with leaves. And he begged his wife, could you please go out and make sure it's not getting filled with leaves? And she said, it's late at night. And he said, if it gets filled with leaves, then the water starts coming into the house. And we've had this before, and the damage was horrific. And she says, I'm tired. And at this point, he's looking at the phone, and I'm sitting next to him, and I'm watching him change colors, look at the phone. And he's ready to say every blasphemy that could come out of his mouth, as he is so frustrated because his wife is giving him these answers when, if she went out and got a little wet, she might save him tens of thousands of dollars in damages. And she's answering him, I don't have the energy to go out and do it. So we're tempted to pull away from the relationship because there are moments that are frustrating. There are moments that can drive you crazy. Why is she unwilling? But then you ask yourself, Achati yonati tamati, this is my one partner in life. I'm going to have to continue building with them. So the guy's, I don't remember what he did, but I do remember that at one point he hung up and looked at me and says, what do you do in a situation like this? I said to him, look, face reality. Either she will or she won't, but you're going to be married to her till 120. So now you're giving out your rage over the phone will get you nowhere. You can try to find a way to sweet talk her. You can try to discuss with her what you should do. You can try to take her the next step and say, honey, could we make plans this summer instead of sending the kids away to sleepaway camp? Because we're going to need that money, it seems, to cover the flood and that's happening in our whatever. You can try to walk through with her, you know, and try to think with her. Do you think we should sell the car? Because we might need a few $10,000-$20,000 to cover the flood right now. You don't have to go. I understand it's wet. I understand you're tired. And I you know, if we can't do it, you can't do it. You can try different things, but realize that there's going to be tomorrow. And even if you got $20,000 in damages, you're going to have to move forward and build with this person. So take a step back. And the key here is pull in and don't pull out. When we hit those bumps, those frustrating moments in marriage, so we're very tempted to pull away. It's like, okay, fine. Whatever will be, but I'm pulling away. I'm not talking to her at this point because I'm not going to get anywhere. Wait a second. Pull in. Don't pull out. Talk to her. Share with her. Don't be upset at her. At that point, we become two opposing forces. If we pull in and we say, I want to think with you. What are we going to do? I understand it's wet and you don't want to go outside. Fine. Can you think with me? What's the next step? What are we going to do now? And sometimes you come to a realization, my marriage just cost me $20,000. And I have to move on. And I'm not going to be able to stand there and yell, I can't believe you did that, I can't believe you did that. I'm going to have to move on. Adam HaRishon teaches us a lot. All of humanity came from a very difficult marriage, a marriage that hit its first day, hit a massive bump on the road. But Adam HaRishon tells her, you know, your name's Chava. You're the root of all life. He chooses to define and then focus on that which is positive in her. He could have said a lot of other things, and the other things would have been true as well. It's a choice, and it's a choice we have to make in order to continue building together. Tov.